We're going to talk some golf again tonight on the Teeing It Up podcast edition. I'm your host, AC, with DFS Karma and BetKarma.com. As always, I got Sam Sherman in the house. We're going to talk about last week's tournament, the Amex Open. We're going to talk about this week, the betting card. I hit again for a second week in a row. DFS was great. Great time, Sam, leading off. Not going to lie. Last year, I think I started down the first 3 or 4 weeks. So it was great to get on the horse for the second week in a row. Again, my picks, go to betkarma.com. How was your week in DFS? What did you think of the tournament? Were you able to watch some golf down the stretch? Obviously, Siwoo took it down. Definitely some storylines as usual, how Tony the Tiger doesn't get it done on Sunday. Anything else you want to add to last week, and then we'll get moving forward looking at.
Yeah, your big win came at the expense of me as usual. I picked Cantlay, my one and done. Guy goes 18 under on the weekend and loses. So that was awesome. You know, I feel pretty good though, because last year, like after COVID, like you were like smoking hot. And I was like, I swear to God, I'm not going to let this punk like, and I went on a run for the ages. So if that's going to happen again, that's fine. I mean, good call on Siwoo. It's a little frustrating that I saw you bet that. And similar to the first week with Kevin Na, I remember we were talking about it, I was like, yeah, Kevin Na will be a good bet. But I saw it and I was like, nah, I'm not betting Kevin Na 50-1. Like, how stupid. And then
we talked about Siwoo on the podcast last week.
No, I totally did. I mean, when I was reading something that's so true. I mean, Siwoo, I mean, he's won me the most amount of money on a bet ever when I took him live at the Players, tailing one of the guys I liked on Twitter, Adon. And then, so I'm not pissed about it. Like, I wish Cantlay would have won that, but Siwoo, dude, it's like once a year, maybe once every other year, he just gets so hot. And unlike a lot of these guys we talk about sometimes, like Mr. Finau, like he will close. Like he was high on 17. I was like making that putt, just 100% making it. Is that your phone or is that Travis?
That was my phone.
Way to go. But yeah, I got smoked in cash because Scottie Scheffler sucks. Patrick Reed, I don't know what that second round was. That was bizarre, but it is what it is. This tournament's awesome. I'm pissed about Tiger, but I won't go into that. But yeah, I'm excited for this. I'm excited for this tournament. I mean, this is one of the best courses ever.
Yeah, low key, nobody's talking about Tiger. Had to get surgery again, so he's out. He's never going to be the same. I mean,
okay,
yeah, that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah, I love it. That I really do.
Yeah, it sucks.
Remember when he was never going to come back and then won 5 tournaments in 1 year? I do.
I mean, yes, 100%. I mean, I love him. Trust me. I mean, when I saw that headline, I was like, no.
I don't know. I mean, Rory said he's fine, which is probably not true, but I'll believe Rory.
Speaking of Rory, can't wait. Obviously, he's coming from Abu Dhabi. We got some heavy hitters. This is, by far, I think you can agree with me, this is like when I feel like golf turns it on. Like, this is
a big tournament.
There's big guys here. I know there's the Sony Open, and there is some other nice tournaments to start the year. But for whatever reason, I feel like this is when my eyes are more open to the tournament. I just love Torrey Pines. Maybe it's just that. But, of course, like I'm sure all other podcasts out there this week, you're going to hear the angle of you need the big bombers, the driver's definitely accurate, and we'll hear your analysis on that. I mean, this is just like a pros course. I mean, these are the ballers are going to win here. You know, we'll talk about projections portal as always. You know, just taking a quick glance, you know, at some of these guys up top, it clearly sticks out. Again, for like the third week in a row, I'm going directly towards the win odds column in the projections portal. And really, from the top on down, you know, it's John Rahm and it's Rory, and it's kind of the rest of the field based on just the win odd equity. And that's something that, you know, they'll both be extremely popular. You can see that you're already projecting them for over 20% this week. But I think the true game theory question is, will people actually pay both of them? I know that's probably a terrible take in cash games, but I don't know. I like to play a lot this week. You know, Rahm is coming off the wink, wink injury. I don't know if he's actually hurt. I doubt it. I wouldn't buy into that narrative at all, but there are right. So that's the game theory aspect this week. There are some cheap guys where you probably could make that combo. If not, we'll talk later. There's going to be the standard you know, combo starting with Hideki, making a great lineup probably from there. Quick thoughts, obviously, yeah, last week Scotty didn't burn anything, cash games, cashed again in cash games as well. And then, dude, I'm sure you saw my trolling picture of the optimizer, but, dude, I had so many lineups in the running last week with the optimizer, 5, 6, 7, 8 lineups all weekend, all in the top 150. I mean, it was literally fun. The best finish was probably 23, I think, maybe 18. You know, had a profitable week using the optimizer, which is awesome. Usually that doesn't happen. It's, you know, usually you are in the negative and you just randomly will pop every once in a while. But the optimizer, man, check that out. That's on the website under the subscriptions package. That does the work for you. You know, I'm happy to talk about more in Discord as to kind of how I filter
it, I guess. I gotta say, this seems like a shameless plug, but I mean, it's really not. I like that optimizer, honestly, and like, I'm not even an optimizer person really, but I'm talking like golf, NFL, it actually does do what, you know, is probably one of the most used, overused phrases in the DFS, you know, industry, is like, you know, correlation. It actually does like do that for you. It's like, you know, the smart diversity setting. So a lot of ones, it's like, you know, golf is a tougher example, but like in football, it's like, you know, it's already doing the game stack for you, like, or what would make sense. Like in Showdown, it's like you're playing four guys in this team. You need a run back, probably a wide receiver, running back. So in golf, it's kind of, I've noticed it kind of does that, where it kind of gives these guys, you know, it gives you a kind of an all upside kind of high risk, high reward lineup, which I like a lot. And so anyone who's, you know, already subbed or not subbed, I recommend you. It's really, really, really good.
Well, also too, like, and again, before we move on to like some of the next tier of players, and we'll give you, I want to hear your thoughts on the course. I like how you break down the course because you know it very well. Regarding the optimizer for golf, like, I challenge everybody, anybody that's listening, you know, give our optimizer a try. Make 150 lineups or just do 20. There's a 20 max entry. I know for a fact, you know, there's tournaments on DraftKings and Vandal where you can max enter for 25 cents. You're spending like $36, I guess, quick math in my head, maybe $37 to max enter. I challenge anyone that's listening, try our optimizer, pick out some of the guys through the projections portal. Again, we'll go through our normal chat here in a second, but like already I'm looking at some guys like Brooks sticks out, you know, just the color. I mean, that's why I love our projections portal. He's going to be low owned. So Siwoo Kim, Siwoo, again, he's quote unquote tired. I mean, that's
he's
the joke.
Tired. He's exhausted from winning.
Low owned guys, adjust your player pool a little bit, you know, lock a couple guys in if you want, put them at 50, 60% and let the optimizer do the work. I promise you, you will have some fun. You will have some lineup sweating. It's very hard to win tournaments making just one lineup. I make just one lineup because I like the single entry stuff, and that's the main crux of the podcast. But again, I think everybody out there needs to challenge their play a little bit this year, because golf, you can accidentally get lucky. I think the optimizer for golf is the best sport to do it, because nobody can predict cuts. Let's be real, Sam. Like, you know this. I mean, some of the best players in the world, they're going to miss a cut, and you have guys that potentially can get 2 days of accumulating points who technically suck, but they beat like
have a last year. They have a last year when DJ shot like 82 with Drew and then won like four of his next like 10 tournaments.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, what? I mean, like, yeah, no, I just go on. Yeah.
And you know, some, the optimizer is lucky for better or worse. Like, it helps you win money. So try it out. Okay. Sam, talk to me about the course.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, it's going to be regurgitated by a lot of people. You have three rounds at Torrey Pines South, which is the famous one. That's like where Tiger won like 08 U.S. Open, where the U.S. Open actually is this year. It's really long, thick, rough, small greens, polo putting. And then the North course is like 500 yards shorter, a little bit bigger greens. It's gotten a little harder since 2017, but it's different type of greens. So basically, what has happened is, like, you know, the last, and it's in my article that will come out either later today or tomorrow morning, but basically the North course, you know, it's not like it's really simple, but compared to the South, I mean, you got to score in the North if you want any chance of kind of competing. I mean, I think Rahm went out there their last year, 2 years ago, and shot like a 62. I know Rose shot like a 63. Our boy CT Pan shot like 64. So got to go low. And then the South course, yeah, it's just really long. I mean, you know, everyone says like, okay, obviously, yeah, distance always going to help. But I mean, think the South Course, seven of the par fours are 450 yards plus. All the par fives are like 560 plus. And while I don't think it'll be, you know, impossible, because obviously there's always a good, you know, 1500 par here, with the U.S. Open coming there this year, I am curious if I was reading a little bit that the rough is a little longer. I think it could actually play tougher than it normally does. And so obviously I'm looking at the guys who hit it far, but the fairways are important. I mean, it's like, I think 50% of fairways get hit here compared to like 62 on the tour average. So I'm kind of looking at tracks like Bethpage Black, Riviera, and like, you know, old U.S. Open tracks like Congressional or Oakmont, things like that, that are really long and you got to hit in the fairway, you're screwed. So that's why you start off the top without burying the lead. Yeah, I mean, Rory is like the fit for this course, I guess, and Rom, obviously. But like, those are the kind of guys, I mean, long and straight, and you have to be able to save par because you're not going to hit every green with how small they are.
It's, again, single entry. I am considering it in cash games. Call me crazy.
I'm just saying, dude, that leaves you like 69.
Like, whatever. I mean, it's probably obviously not optimal, clearly, but I just love that attack angle this week, you know, in any format. Like, I would not be tilted if I saw guys in 50-50s with that combo and they beat me and I chicken out and start with Hideki. I mean, I think Hideki is the other starting point, probably, obviously, in cash games. I think that's probably, quote unquote, the safer play, you know, which I probably would recommend, right, starting with Hideki. But yeah, that's my thoughts. And then before we move on, I 100%, if I don't play, I'm not going to play Xander in cash games. I'm just not. It'll be like the Rory Rom combo, but I am probably going to go really overweight with the X-Man, which I never do, in the optimizer. I'm going to take a hard look at his ownership. Like, right now, you're kind of projecting it for lower relative to the other high guys.
Which, yeah, dude, like, something with this course, I don't know why. He just does not play. Even though he's from San Diego, he, like, doesn't play. Yeah. I don't know why.
So that's kind of, like, when I saw that angle too, you know, like, now you know the casual players are going to be off him in general. He's going to be low-owned. I would say probably 11, 12% by the time, you know, everybody tees off. I might go 40% Xander this week. I love his setup. I know he's not a course fit, but like you said, he's from the area. I mean, dude, he ranks so high in my model, just like in yours, I'm assuming. But like, even in the short time, like top five in literally greens in regulation, strokes gain approach, strokes gain ball striking, strokes gain tee to green, strokes gain par four, opportunities gained. Par fives, he's been slacking, but man, like, he's actually a good POA putter too. So, I know
it's gets it far.
Because I never play him, and when I do, he misses the cut. So,
me too. That's far enough. I mean, I know the only thing I'll say is, I mean, everyone, I'll probably get trolls like, oh, you always fade him. I actually been playing Finau a lot, but I'm not playing him. I mean,
no,
I think he'll end up being one of the highest owned. I mean, I don't know, dude, just the third highest priced guy and like not a win. I mean, I'm just saying, like, when you get to that point, I mean, you kind of have to finish in the top five, which he's done a lot, and like, or have winning up. I mean, his winning equity is just so low and he's just going to be so popular. Like, I just would rather pay 300 more for Rory, or I'd rather go back to Reed, who burned everyone and no one's going to play him now. And then one of my favorite plays in the entire field is Harris English in 98.
Like that.
He ranks number one for me, dude. I mean, here's the thing. You'll see my article coming out. Harris English, like, I think it's weird for a lot of people to see him in this range. He has had such an unbelievable last, like, 14 months. I mean, I think he has 9 top 20s or so in his last, like, 20 starts. He finally got a win at a tournament he probably shouldn't even been at. He is playing so well stats-wise. He ranks top 20 in every single thing I'm looking at. I mean, form is there. Course history-wise, I mean, he's played a lot. He has 2 top 10s, a 14th. I mean, I love Harris English. And I think just based on name recognition and, you know, not being on the same level as Reed or Rory or Rom, I don't think he's going to be that high on. I love him this week.
I mean, again, I'm looking at the projections portal, trying to get you guys more active in this free, by the way. It's a free feature. He's popping, as they love to call it, in the value section. And I love the value section in all of our sports. I can quickly go to NBA, NFL, it doesn't matter, golf, same thing. Yes, no matter the company out there, the data is never an exact science, but it generally will guide you in the right direction. And our projections really like the value for Harris English this week. I think he's a great play. I think he's overpriced, kind of, but I think an awesome play in tournaments for what it's worth.
Dude, his last five, something I look at it, not on a portal, but something I was taking, I'm like, over his last five tournaments, like per tournament, he's averaging like 22 birdies and only like six bogeys. Over, he's averaging like 108 DraftKings points over his last five events. I'm just saying, I mean, he's a scorer. I mean, he's, it's yeah, just no, weird because I just think you don't see him. Like, he's 16th in the world now. I mean, he's a good player.
He's definitely got a lot better in the last couple of years. We played a lot of him, and frankly, again, I don't know if you can sort it on your end. I'm actually sorting on mine. Sorry if it's not populating. The win odds are truly incredible for Harris English. I mean, you're wedging him in between the X-Man himself and Finau and under Hideki. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, 9,800 seems like a lot, but according to you know, the projections portal, the win odds equity market that Las Vegas is baking in, they're telling you Harris English has a strong chance of winning this tournament. Okay. All right, let's move on. So this next kind of range until Hideki, in my opinion, probably all low owned for, you know, whatever you guys can pick, whoever you want. The one guy I like, if he is lower owned, I need to take a look later in the week closer to lock, because I like Hovland a lot. That's the only guy here. But I'll probably, again, if I don't start with a Rom-Rory combo and just roll with it, I'm starting my main lineup this week. No doubt about it. Probably like you too, Sam, is with Hideki. He'll be mega chalk, in my opinion, at 9,200.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I'll just eat the chalk there. I like Hovland too. I thought you were going to say, I came to this week wanting to play Matthew Wolf. I love Wolf long term. I am not playing him. He has not looked very good.
I'm guessing, and again, I feel like I've done, maybe this doesn't work for everybody, but there's so much content out there these days that I've refined my even process, and it's become much smaller and relying on a lot of these tools and stuff on our site as well. But I'm guessing, like you're implying, Matthew Wolf is probably popular. I love him too, but it didn't even cross my mind to play him in my main lineup, let alone, you know, even MME.
No, I like him. But yeah, I like him. He was good to me last year. I don't think he's like bad, but like, you know, looking at his last couple of tournaments, I mean, he's off the tee game, his absolute best part of his game. He's been negative the last three events. He is a good putter, but I don't know. He just hasn't really, I think my ownership right now, it's obviously it's only Tuesday. I think it's going to be higher than that. I think he'll be like a top six or seven owned, and I don't have interest there. As we keep moving down. I'm playing Bubba Watson.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think this is your quote unquote Bubba course, because I mean, it means you got to play him. He actually did win here a lot of years ago, and for me, he's first tee to green, fourth off the tee. I mean, he hits it a mile. His putting on Poa is not great, but Bubba, that's kind of how he is. I mean, course history. I mean, he's never finished worse than 23rd here. He came sixth last year. He hasn't played in a while, but I think Bubba. I mean, because once he gets it going, I'll give away this. I bet Bubba. I liked his number. I think this week we didn't mention at the top. I think there's an advantage on guys who start in the north versus south. I just didn't want this number to go away. But I like Bubba a lot. And then no one's going to play him, but I'm playing Jason Day, two-time winner.
So I saw your comments on Bubba. I saw the bet on Bubba. I'm actually not making my bets until I see a little bit more with the two-time whatever. So you like the North Course startup though for your bets? Like if you
I mean, I just think, I don't know. There's obviously, I have to look into it. There's obviously, everyone always can find these trends and stuff like that, and whatever. But maybe. I think it's a huge advantage to, at least in my opinion, maybe it's not, to start in the North, have a good round, and then when you go to the South Course, the harder one, you play it round two, and then, you know, on the weekend, you've just seen the course more recently, as opposed to like hard course, you know, maybe shooting 66 to make the cut and then having to go back to this like kind of more of a grind.
You're right. I mean, even me looking at this live, checking, I mean, we're doing the podcast Tuesday. Y'all are listening probably either Tuesday evening, the night, or Wednesday morning, but the latest up-to-date weather forecast, I would definitely lean AM round, no doubt. And obviously, if you can find in the North Course AM, then that's the route. you know, if you want the even bigger edge, I guess, especially for the prop players out there, Monkey Knife Fight and Prize Picks, etc. So, yeah, I want to look at, like, because I like your call on Bubba while you were talking about him. It's not that I was hesitant. I mean, dude, golf was like not happening for like 3 months, I feel like, or something. I know there was the Masters, but Bubba was on fire to finish the year. It just sucks. Like, clearly he hasn't really been playing, so it's hard to
make. No, I mean, honestly think he may have not. I think his last start may have honestly been like the Masters in November, honestly. Like, so,
put it like this. If Bubba is, just for whatever reason, and before we move on from him, if he's on the North course, like it is 7 a.m. tee time, I mean, it's a lock. He's going to be in my main lineup. It's going to be the perfect.
I agree.
I'm going to look for edges this week, I guess, with that. As much as I love the Rory-Rahm combo, my God, if I see Rory and Rahm, you know, at like 6:30, 7 a.m. on Thursday, I might just roll that route and just say F it to anybody in the mid-tiers and, you know, pluck guys. Because it does look like an edge this week. I mean, you just got to roll with it. Like, most weeks, there is no edge, like, at all. But, like, I'd say one out of every five or six tournaments.
There's absolutely, Especially so right now, for DFS sake, especially for props. Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, there could be easily a three-shot difference, which, I don't know, to the average person, it's something like that's enormous. But,
Scotty, I will play some Scotty in MME real quick. I just wanted to say that. Scotty Scheffler, oh, baby. I mean, I hope he's like 7% owned, 5% owned. I'm definitely going probably 3x him on the field, even though he didn't look good at all. His approach game sucked. I just want some leverage. So I figured he burned enough people that they ultimately won't click his name. I'm sure Jason Day is going to be popular, by the way, man. He's probably going to be like,
I don't know. I mean, I just think I have him creeping up because I had him like yesterday before I post and I updated our stuff. I had him at like 9. Now I have him like 12 or 13. I mean, if he gets to like 15 plus, I'll lose a little interest. But I mean, people just don't like to play him because he was bad for a while. He's always hurt. But like, I don't know. He ended last year pretty decent. He's won here twice.
I like Jason Day a lot. I mean, I was actually looking because I had some time today. It was funny. I was looking back at my old notes. That's why I love golf, because you can use old notes. Like, I have these old notebooks for betting / DFS, but like, it's the same thing. And like, Jason Day literally pops up in all my notes from like 2017, 2016, 2018. You know, it's very, he just lingers, you know, like in all my notes. I'm looking right now. Yeah, I mean, that was the year he won. He was 5%, Torrey Pines. But yeah, I like Jason Day a lot. I think he's cash game playable for sure.
I do too. I have a question for you because I'm full fading him. I don't care. But like, in MME, are you going to play Ryan Palmer and how much?
No, so these are guys that like I'm trying to get better at. Like, I'm probably, I'd say I grade myself as a C minus MME player, maybe C plus at times.
Dude, 20 plus Ryan Palmer, like, oh my God.
Plus Ryan Palmer. Yeah, no, if he's 25%, like, no way.
That is the biggest red flag. That's like playing a 25% Keegan. Like,
you, I actually like Billy Horschel's the same player, if not better. And he's if he's half the ownership, like, I'll go with Billy. I mean, I would trust Billy in freaking cash games, to be honest. I mean, this week, especially with the win.
I'm not sure how popular is Atlanta. I will play Will Zalatoris, that young kid from Corn Ferry. He would have already been a PGA Tour, like, full member last year if it wasn't COVID.
Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah, I mean, he'll pop any stat model just because he has, like, less rounds, but he is, like, really, really good. I do like him. I made my weekly donation for my Louis bet. If the weather's bad,
it's funny even looking at the projections portal. Like, you have him at 7%. Nobody ever plays who stays in ever, but he's an amazing play. He's every week an amazing leverage play. It just doesn't even matter because he kind of only shows up at these big tournaments anyways. Like, there is big horses in this tournament. Louis, the type of guy that'll be top five and you'll be like, who plays?
Louis Oosthuizen, I bet him at 70-1. You're telling me that that's a worse bet than Ryan Palmer at 50?
Yeah, that's a good bet. 70-1.
Ryan Palmer at 50-1. Get out of my face. That's
absurd. Especially with the win projected. I mean, Louis, needs these type of tournaments, you know, like, he needs the lower scores to come in.
It's insane. If it's bad weather, he has a chance. If it's like really pristine weather, all this, that money's gone. That's whatever. I mean, dude, I saw a bunch of people betting Molinari this week.
Don't talk shit about my boy. He's back.
I don't care if he had one good tournament. Chalk that's concerning me that I'll probably play in cash, but my fade is Woodland. He is getting way too much buzz for my liking. I thought it was about to be early on Woodland.
I mean, again, this is another thing. It's like, I liked the play, but man, like, this is the highest owned guy in the projections portal right now. And when you get a guy at this price range,
it's an easy pivot. It's an easy pivot.
It was a good play, though. I mean,
no, he is. He hits a lot of fairies at Stinger. He hits it far. I mean, he looked fine. I thought he looked pretty good last week. I mean,
this play that like Dave brought up in our golf Discord chat this past week, and I don't even know who he faded. It was Sam Burns or Doc Redman or somebody. But like to his point, like we talk about this, just freaking pick a couple guys if your lineup's somewhat chalk and just freaking fade them. Like, who cares? Like, yeah, I mean. In MME though, I'm not fading Gary Woodland. That might sound backwards, but like I need some exposure because I do think
that's why I'm saying, like, just literally don't play Ryan Palmer. Okay, if he finishes top five, then yeah, you got killed. But if he doesn't, which there's, you know, what are his, I have his top five odds at around, you know, 8%. So 92% of the time, that's pretty good. But I mean, dude, same price or 100 below Gary Woodland. I mean, Corey Connors, dude. This is a Corey Connors course.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to tell me twice about Corey Connors. The one guy that I always play Corey Connors. He's that dude I've won a lot of money with in Showdown. How about let's go right back? Speaking of, he's probably gonna be owned, which sucks because people are smart. Sam Burns is ranked 3 in my model. I mean, and he checks the boxes. He's opportunities gained. He's number 1 driving distance, top 5. Strokes gained par 5.
Yeah, he's a great player.
It's like, okay, go from – now that we're talking about this, literally, Gary Woodland, go to Sam Burns. I mean, seriously, I'll probably do that and save at least some on the ownership because Sam Burns will be owned, but he'll probably be half what Gary Woodland's like, owned.
Yeah, that disaster Thursday, but did you see what he shot on Friday?
Yeah.
I think he shot like 64, 65 bogey free with like an eagle or two eagle. I mean, he like – clearly, just like you were just saying at the top, like everyone has these horrific rounds, and it just kind of like it just happens. Now we got it. Now we got the real meat of the turn right here. AC, are you playing? Sorry, excuse me. How much Jordan Spieth at 7,600 are you playing?
I didn't even know he was in the tournament until you just said that.
Dude, why is he playing? Why would he start his season here? This is like the worst place for him to start. You can't miss the fairway. What?
Hasn't he won here a long time ago? No, he didn't. That was Pebble Beach. Sorry. That's coming up.
Yeah,
though.
No, dude. It's like this is the one of the few courses you just cannot miss the fairway.
Speaking of Spieth, have you ever seen Under Armour stock price recently? I mean, that reminds me of Spieth. It's just completely tanked in like the last, you know, 2 years. So, I mean, he was cool for a little while there. I mean, I don't know. He's whiny as well. So I don't think I've ever really been a fan, but I'm sure he's going to get hot just because. At some point, it'll catch on because he's a good iron player, and iron players do get hot at times, and he's an amazing putter, as we know.
Yeah, so. I mean, he ranks 140th for me in strokes gained off the tee. That's pretty good. There's like 152 people on the field, so.
Pebble Beach, bro. We're playing at Pebble Beach. We'll toss a dart
on. You talk trash last week about Taylor Gooch, makes the cut, storms up the leaderboard. Like, I knew.
Unbelievable. I pivoted Seb Straka in my main lineup to Gooch because you literally, it was the way that you conveyed it in your content and final thoughts. And I was like, shit, I think he's leaning Taylor Gooch. Honestly, you made me switch him. And it turned out to be huge because Straka, I think, just tanked. And he was
I played him both in my main lineup. And yeah, Seb is a bad person.
That
was
actually the thing I cast. Thank you. But yeah, Taylor Gooch is a good iron player. I'm not playing Taylor Gooch here this week at all. I'm not touching him.
I play Sam Burns.
Frankly, literally, I don't know who else I'm even touching in this range. I mean, that's why I'm like going down. This range is.
Oh, we got a lot of loaded players. We got Carlos Ortiz, the wagon.
He's projecting very well.
Charles Howell burned everyone last week. I know he's not a bomber. He has made 10 straight cuts here with 4 top 10s, just saying.
Yeah.
He's actually finished outside of the top 20 twice in 10 starts.
He lacks an upside, as they say.
He does. I just like him cash. Charlie Hoffman, I'll go right back after he torched me last week.
Oh, no, don't go there. I'm not going there. He's hurt.
Chaz Hoffman?
Charlie Hoffman? Is that what he said?
Yeah. Is he hurt, really? I did not know that.
He withdrew last week. I mean, I'm not touching that guy.
Oh, that's true. He did withdraw. I don't know what he would – because why would he be in the field if he – like I don't know if he just was –
And for the record, if you do have to pick between Rahm and McIlroy, I'm going Rahm all the way. I'm going McIlroy because Rahm did withdraw last year. Again, I'm not holding it against anything, but if you had to flip a coin, I'm going to lean Rory, by the way. Same.
I don't think Rahm's hurt, though. He just has those new clubs, which I don't know why he withdrew, but I don't think he's hurt. Maybe.
Real quick, keep going down because we only have a couple minutes left. Man. Maverick McNeely, I guess. Eric ran ruins down here. I mean, these are – To me, let me just rattle off a few names that I know. I'll add these guys to my MME pool. I know for a fact I will. Lance O'Griffin, no question about it. You mentioned Carlos Ortiz.
Add EVR. He's a good if it gets bad.
EVR, I probably will go. Your boy Doug Gim, he just every week in the projections portal, it's like Doug pops. So
I know.
Stuck in the projections portal. I'll keep going down. Doc Redmond, I'll probably add only because he burned everybody last week, so I'll probably 3x the field on him. For some reason, every week you love Cameron Dragali. Like, I'll take your word for it. He like pops in the model in the projection.
Yeah, I'm playing him again.
Johnny Huh? Yeah, your boy Huh's down here. Luke List. I don't know if he's gonna be popular, but Luke List. Remember last week, Sam? Remember when I talked about Luke List? He was looking really good actually this past weekend. I didn't see his putter. I didn't know if he would bring it up. Did he gain strokes putting? I mean, that would be the only scary thing. But
I have not looked. I'll look right now. I'd be shocked. If you
want to make a Rory Rahm lineup, like Luke List is the easiest play of plays down here. Like he's the same.
I have the ultimate galaxy brain. He's actually going to be in my article too, but I think super high risk, but he's been playing well. 7,000. Luke List lost 3 strokes putting last week. 7,000. Matt Jones, Australian. He gets super hot, and his approach game isn't great, but he ranks for me top 30 in putting on POA and birdie or better in his first bogey avoidance. He hits the ball really far. He, 2 weeks ago, like on the weekend, went 63, 64. He's been playing pretty well. He's played decent enough here. But it's like, you know, he's sneaky distance. I mean, just form-wise, he's made several cuts in a row. And trying to find what he's been finishing. Yeah, I mean, he's finished 21st, really, 11th.
His approach game's really nice. He's off the tee sucks, which concerns me because.
Yeah, he has a lot of power. He does miss the fair, which is concerning. But he just has, like, he kind of is. He's like a lot of these guys I play that are losers where it's like he either just has it or he just kind of misses the cut by 1,000. But I just like that he has like eagle upside too because he hits it so far.
He has played here quite many tournaments. You know,
I always value a lot of people when they look at course history, it's like, did he play here and did he play well? I value almost the same like if they just played here. They know the course.
That's an interesting play. I mean, he will not be owned at all. That's actually a really good call.
If you want to play Rory Rahm, which I would not recommend because he's like 6,900 average. I mean, I like Wyndham Clark at 68. I'm going to lose money with Kyle Stanley at 67.
Yeah.
Justin Suh at 66 is someone no one to play. Another guy who's young. And then Johnny Vegas, 6,500.
Yeah, I saw Vegas down there. What's his name is down there too. No, HV3. I took a peek at him because – when you think long, you think, you know, these off the tee courses like Harold Varner. I mean, my God, this is the rant. Okay, his course history is atrocious. I just looked it up. So nobody will play him, but he is that random type of guy that, like, you know, will be winning after round one. He'd be like, dude, nobody played Harold Varner. Obviously, he's not going to
more. I agree. He just makes so many big numbers. That's why I never play him.
He does.
Played Rory Sabatini go down last week. He's a go.
No, I am playing Rory. This isn't a Sabatini course. What about Will Gordon down here, 6,300?
Yeah, I thought about him. He ranks, like, you know, comparatively, like, I rank, obviously, everyone. He has, like, compared to his price, like, if I have, like, my rank of him versus price and DK, it's pretty strong because he has a good approach game, makes a lot of birdies, but he, again, he makes a lot of high numbers too. I don't know. I hope people play Bo Hostler because he came like top 10 here last year.
My God, no.
Yeah, all I mean, right. Honestly, like those four guys I said in the 6,000s are probably the only guys I'm playing. Maybe, why is Pat Perez 66? That's interesting. He's from here.
Yeah, and again, down here, what I do is last thing I'll summarize and we'll kind of close the pot up with our bet of the week. When I'm making the optimizer, the MME, the guys down here, like 6,000s and above, like I literally X them out of the pool so the optimizer can't drop mm-hmm. them in my lineup. So, you know, I pick a few guys, like I mentioned a Will Gordon, you know, somebody Justin Sue you just brought up. I mean, there is a few guys, like you always want to leave a couple, like at like 2% just in case, like Keith Mitchell, I see him right now, 6,700. Like, you know, it's not Bermuda Keith, but
yeah, I'm at 5%, and when he's owned at 1%, and you're 5x right. the
field. You brought up Wyndham Clark. That's actually an interesting play at 6,800. Like, you know, I mean, if he's gonna go 4% owned, go 8%. Like, you got to make a couple stands on some of these random guys because some of these random guys come top 20, and you just need them in your lineup. And some of them like accidentally have a couple extra eagles, and that's how you take down the GBP. All right, so that does it. As always, you can find all of our content, dfskarma.com. Most of the stuff's free. You can hop into our Discord chat. You can follow along with our core plays. All that stuff's under the subscriber stuff. If you want to actually win in the betting or at least see what we're doing to, you know, get an edge on the field, then head over to betkarma.com and check out those premium packages. Who is your pick to win this week that's not named Rom or Rory?
That's the one I already said. I mean, yeah, assuming it can kind of fall the right way. Bubba Watson, 50-1, I like.
I had one huge here a few years ago. I'll finish with I'm looking for my pick right now. Man, I can't do it. I got to check the odds, but I think I would go with Victor Hovland as that random guy that's like got a good price but definitely has the upside. So I'll probably look to hopefully add him to the cart. All right, guys, good luck this week. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.